Thanks for joining us on Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. In the decades following the Vietnam War, hundreds of thousands of Hmong refugees have settled in the United States. The Hmong, an ethnic minority, were recruited during the war to fight in the CIA's secret campaign against communist forces in Laos. But while the war officially ended in 1975, the terror was just beginning for many Hmong families. Facing brutal persecution at the hands of the Laotian government, the Hmong fled their villages for refugee camps in Thailand. Over half of the Hmong refugees who came to the U.S. eventually resettled in Midwestern states, including Michigan. Martha Bloomfield, an oral historian who set out to collect the stories of Hmong people living in Michigan for her book, Hmong Americans in Michigan. She joins us now. Welcome to the show, Martha.
Good morning. Thank you.
Also joining us, Luke Shong. Luke is an investment advisor in Fenton, Michigan, about an hour east of Lansing. And Luke came to the United States during the wave of Hmong immigration in the 1980s. Luke, welcome to Current State.
Thank you.
Martha, can you start out by telling us how many Hmong Americans are currently living in the Midwest, and how many are here in Michigan?
There are about close to 6,000 living in Michigan, and most of them in Michigan are living in the Detroit area, outside the Detroit area, Warren, Sterling Heights, Rochester Hills, and there are approximately 1,000 Hmong Americans living in the Lansing area.
Why did so many Hmong refugees end up in the Midwest in general? Do we know that?
I can explain a little bit. When the Hmong people were in the refugee camps in Thailand, there were the Lutherans and Catholic social services. People were working in the volunteering in the camps, and they would help sponsor Hmong Americans to places that they were familiar with, and then I think it was a continuation mm-hmm. that if there were a family here, then they could help sponsor their relatives here.
Luke, you were quite young, around 9 years of age, when you had to leave your village. What was your life like before the war reached you?
Before the war reached us, it's just normal, being a normal kid, going to the farm just like any other kid.
You worked on a farm?
Yes. Yeah.
Starting at what age?
I remember as soon as I learned how to walk. So
you were working on a farm soon,
yeah. Either you're out of the farm helping out whatever you can, or you're at home.
What kind of farm? What?
Basically, it's every family has their own little farm.
Okay.
We grow rice, corn.
Plot of land.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
What do you remember about the day you had to leave your village?
Very scared. I remember that day as if it's, yesterday. It was right about noon or so. And my dad came back and just kind of hushed us. We got to go into the woods and hide because the communists have came and arrested the village head, headsman, who is a great uncle of mine. And later on, when we find out that he and his those leaders that were with him were executed, that was the start of our fleeing.
And did you, you were 9 years old.
Yes.
You weren't a really small child. How well did you understand? How well did you grasp what was going on?
There's that hope that, going to the woods was probably just a temporary thing, that, we would eventually come back to the village. But that was the last thing, my dad and my uncles, they eventually went back to the village, just to grab some belongings here and there, but that was the last time I seen my village.
Mm. Yeah. What was the name of your village?
The village was Kada, which could be translated into two ways. One is the eagle's hole, or it could be translated as a wide hole.
We're talking with Luke Shong, who moved to the United States as a Hmong refugee in the 1980s and now lives in Fenton, Michigan. Also author Martha Bloomfield. Her book is called Hmong Americans in Michigan. Martha, when you interviewed people for this project, how did people talk about the war and about leaving their home?
People were able to share some of their memories because I'm primarily interested in people's stories. And it was pretty traumatic. And as Luke said, there was a lot of fear. I have some passages here. I don't know if that would help.
If you've got one handy, why don't you read it, please?
Leon Zhang, whose mom's picture is on the cover to my book. I interviewed her, and she was describing how difficult it was, how painful it was. And she said that people were, they were very frightened. She said, "I did not actually see the enemy. My dad was a soldier because he became a Klan leader. Kids went as soldiers to war. Probably not a single week passed that a dead body did not return to the village. We always had a fear of death. I saw ugly bodies wrapped up in things. When they brought the bodies as children, we raced to see who it was. Somebody else, your brother, your cousin." And then she goes on to describe when she and her family were leaving. And they grabbed everything. She said, "My father left first. He fled like a bird. He left us behind. He was so scared. A second person helped him get on the bus. He impersonated a poor person in old, old clothes. Otherwise, they would kill him because he had fought in the army. We told him, 'Dad, if we are lucky, we'll see each other again. Otherwise, it's the end.' We found a way to cross, and we found Dad."
Luke, how long did you live in the jungle?
We were in the jungle for close to about 3 years.
How did you survive for 3 years in the jungle?
Wild plants, hunting.
And how many of you were there?
There's quite a few. There's many, many families that those that did not surrender to the communists. We all hide, and when they stop coming after us, we'll go out and slash and burn a plot here and there just to make enough food just to sustain for a while.
But it was a hand-to-mouth existence, day-to-day existence.
Pretty much, yeah.
What kind of shelter were you able to put together?
We were able to build little thatched houses, whatever you can make it out of. There's a lot of resources out in the jungle that you can, pull together. Since it's not out in the open, mm-hmm.
You spent some time in a refugee camp in Thailand. How long?
About a year, a little bit over a year.
And that was how big an improvement was that over living in the jungle?
It was the first time I actually went to school. I never went to school when we were in Laos or in the jungle. This is the first time in a camp, being a kid, that you can actually just be a kid and go to school.
Luke Shong is one of our guests. Luke is a Hmong American who lives in Fenton, Michigan, who emigrated here in the 1980s. Martha Bloomfield is the author of the book Hmong Americans in Michigan. You eventually left the refugee camp, and after you left your village in 76, you were finally able to immigrate to the United States. What did it feel like to leave the refugee camp in your childhood home behind when you immigrated to the United States?
It was just another process, because we spent so much time fleeing from one place to the other. Coming to the U.S. was just another step at that time. Not knowing where we're going to end up, where we're going.
How many people were there in your family altogether?
There were eight of us. Yeah.
Both parents, six children?
Yeah.
Martha, when you talked to the people you interviewed for the book, what kinds of challenges did they say they faced after coming to America?
I think one of the challenges was, how do we adapt now? And there was a strong belief, a number of people shared how it was really important for their children to get an education, and that seemed to be the strongest point, that they would work very hard so that their children could go to school. And many of the people I interviewed, their kids have all graduated from college and more.
Wow. Luke, after you arrived in Portland, what challenges did your family face adjusting to life in America?
Biggest challenge is the, for one, is culture shock. Two is not knowing the language. And three, how are we going to make it here? We don't have any skills. My parents don't have much of any skills. You know, the only thing they knew back then was to farm. And coming over here, you're forced to go to live in an apartment. There's no land. I mean, to get from point A to point B, you either have to learn how to take the public transit.
How did your parents do it? I mean, they obviously, you've become a professional person as an adult. Obviously, this was a long, hard road. What did your parents finally do? How did they create some sense of stability for you and your brothers and sisters?
It was really tough for them, really tough because of the language barrier. My dad eventually got a job as a janitor, and that's about as far up the chain as he could go because of the language barriers. For us kids, he pushes us to, you know, pursue school and education because that's the key.
So there was this awareness of the importance of education in your
absolutely.
Family and holding jobs and moving ahead.
Right.
Martha, what was the most surprising thing you learned that as a part of this project?
Well, since I didn't know anything about the Hmong people, Hmong American people, one of the most wonderful parts was what a warm community of people and how hospitable everybody was. And what also struck me and is how resilient they are. And Luke has been really helpful in, you know, learning his story and why and how, as a people, they're just, like, amazingly resilient.
Mm-hmm. I find it, I can't imagine what it was like, Luke. You eventually attended college at the University of California, Davis.
Yes.
Where you went on to earn your bachelor's degree. I can't imagine what it must have been like to find yourself in Davis, California, about to embark on a college degree in the United States after living in the jungle for 3 years as a child. Do you remember your mindset when you first went to Davis and realized you were going to attend college?
My mindset at the time was I have to make it. You know, I have to make it. My parents brought me here for a reason, and that reason is to, you know, to do the best that I can and hopefully to set a good example for my younger siblings and pursue education. Education is the key. The key to everything in your life is education.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You have three children yourself now. Is it important to you that they maintain a connection to Hmong culture?
I actually have five kids.
Five kids. I beg your pardon.
Yes. They have to understand and know where they come from. But, you know, my kids are just as American as the next-door neighbor. You know, I struggle often because, you know, my kids are here. They're born here. They're raised here. You know, I want them to be as American as possible. At the same time, they also need to know where they come from, where I came from. I struggle a lot of times because I want them to not have to experience the life that I did. But in life, you also have to understand, you know, the struggles of life, and what better way to understand it than through your own dad. But that's a struggle that I have personally myself, is how much of it do I shelter from my kids, and how much of it do I let them know? And hopefully as time goes by and as they grow up, we can share that story. But for now, I want them to live and be as kids so that they can have that life.
I understand. Martha, you'll be talking more about your book and the experiences of Hmong Americans in Michigan tonight. Tell us about that event.
Yes, I'll be talking at the Schulers in Okemos at 7 o'clock tonight, and some other Hmong Americans will also be there. The daughter of Tong Vu, who's on the cover, she'll be there, and her parents, and hopefully some more.
We've been talking with Luke Shong, who moved to the United States as a Hmong refugee in the 1980s and now lives in Fenton, Michigan. We've also been joined by Martha Bloomfield, author of the book Hmong Americans in Michigan. You can hear more about the book tonight at 7 o'clock, Schuler Books in Okemos. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mark.